New governor, new ideas. And this is going to be presented by the PCB advocacy team with Chris Hunsinger leading and with other additional team members. Let me tell you about our Chris. Christine Hunsinger is the team leader of the advocacy and governmental affairs team of PCB. She is also the president of PCB at this time and has been active with voting and transportation issues. She is the chair of the ACB Rehabilitation Task Force. She was a federal employee for 42 years and has been working at her volunteer jobs since retirement in 2014. So let's go ahead. Chris, you ready? Let's go ahead. Take it away.
Yep, I'm as ready as I'm going to be. This presentation, we originally thought that we would call it New Governor, New Ideas, because we were looking forward to great changes in Harrisburg with a new administration. We thought that with the new governor, a different breeze would be blowing through Harrisburg, bringing us additional accessibility in state government and additional responsiveness. We had been brainstorming in our meetings throughout the year, and several questions that we had come up amongst us continually. So we were hoping that we could get in touch with some of the particular agencies and find out if indeed anything had changed. Dan Miller in the past probably 4 years, and he's a local state representative in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. He had been talking about a new position in state government, a secretary of inclusion. The state of Maryland has such a secretary. This person works to make the government more responsible to diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. It's a wonderful thought, but as I was looking through the different departments in the Pennsylvania state government, I thought, we have so many layers already, I just can't imagine another layer of government. But nevertheless, if it would solve a problem, maybe it would be the way to do things. So we hope that might happen. But of course, that bill has not passed, as far as I can tell, this year. And, you know, the legislature is such that the House has one Democrat more than the majority. I mean, you know, the majority is one. And in the Senate, the Republicans have the majority. So the two houses have been sniping at each other, and we can see the results because the budget took so long to pass. And even after the budget passed, we found that the code bills, and those are the bills that actually give the agencies the money, the code bills were having issues trying to get passed. Might there be something that we would see as a change in government because of some of the new heads to agencies? That was another thing that we thought. Val Arkush of Human Services, Health, Deborah Vogin. She was the Allegheny County head of the health department, and now she's acting as health department secretary at this point. Al Schmidt at the Department of State. He was very active in Philadelphia in voting issues when he came to the Department of State. Might we get more accessible voting? And the reason I say that, of course, we have voting machines that are accessible everywhere in the state, but our vote-by-mail ballots are accessible to vote, but not accessible to transmit. We have to print them, put them in an envelope, sign them, and date them. There are states that allow for transmission of the ballot electronically. But since Pennsylvania doesn't allow for transmission of even the overseas ballots or the military ballots electronically, it's not likely that we're going to get a change in that part of the law anytime soon. And of course, there's also the new Attorney General, Michelle Henry. So, you know, what things might change because of those people? Our Lieutenant Governor Austin Davis is quite active and interested in like real people, sort of. I've got the impression from everything that we've heard from him that he was one of those kind of people who gets down into what really matters to people. So we were hoping that those changes might make a difference in the kinds of responses we got from the government. And we started thinking about what agencies would we want to hear answers from. We also thought that Senator Fetterman, after his brush with inaccessibility, with his stroke and having to use transcripts to do his information processing, as he could not necessarily understand things well enough unless he read them, that he might have his office might give us a shout out or some encouragement on the accessibility front. But we hadn't heard from that office either. The agencies that we were thinking might be the kinds of agencies that we would want answers from. How about Department of Labor and Industry? Blind and Vision Services? Yes. Could that be more accessible? Possibly. Wouldn't you like accessible documents all the time with them when you are dealing with them? Unemployment? I mean, it's nice when you have a job, but when you don't have a job, how many people have been having issues with unemployment? However, to be fair, the unemployment problems probably bother everybody, not just people with vision loss. So that might not be as big an issue that we could zero in on. Career links, maybe. The Department of Transportation and PennDOT. Well, we had Bonnie Dotson-Burke here this afternoon, and she was talking about traffic signals, etc. You know, PennDOT is bound and determined they're going to spend more than $19 million this year and next year, each year, on countdown signals. And those don't really help us, but that's the fastest way they can spend this money that we wish they would spend some of on accessible pedestrian signals. Accessibility issues when you're trying to get your non-driving ID or your handicap placard or whatever it's called. The Department of Human Services, would we want to see how they would better their accessibility? Whether it's Medicaid, food stamps, PACE, PACENET, COMPASS. And that COMPASS program is the program that you pretty much can do all of your actions if you're someone who does your paperwork online with that department, but it's not as accessible as it ought to be. What about home-based community services, probably through the Department of Aging? How much of those services should be more accessible or even available? Because, you know, the first thing anyone sees when they see that someone has vision loss is go to Bureau of Blind and Visual Services. Now, why they don't say, oh, the Department of Aging can do this, this, and this for you is beyond me. Just because you're blind doesn't mean, you know, that you don't need the services that agency provides. What about the health department? How much more accessible could they be? And we're not just talking about birth certificates and death certificates. We're talking about all the kinds of documents that all of us would like to be able to readily get a hold of. The reports of things like, look at how bad it was when we couldn't tell what was happening with COVID in our own areas because the maps were too small. They would bog down our computers and they crash because they're just the information wasn't readily available to us. Or any other kind of health alerts. The Department of State, of course, I've already mentioned the voting thing. Okay, the Liquor Control Board. Now, you might chuckle, right? But don't we all have reason? Shouldn't we all demand access to know what wine's on sale? The Public Utility Commission. How easy is it for us to get a hold of their information? The Department of Revenue. How easy is it for us to know what's happening with our tax bills? I just got a dunning letter from the Department of Revenue saying I owe them money. Now, it came yesterday or the day before, and I just didn't have time to scan it, look at it, and say, okay, it's 3 pages. Wouldn't it be nice if I could just go to their website and read it? Or if they'd send it to me in some other accessible format. The Insurance Commission, wouldn't that be better if we could get a hold of somebody there that was an accessible set of reasonable information that you could get a hold of? How about lottery? Now, we then said, okay, these are some of the organizations and agencies that we would find really interesting if they would do something, that they would respond to us and say, we're working on these issues. But as I wrote to their contact screens on their websites, I got crickets. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people have all kinds of questions, and I probably just didn't use the right buzzwords, but you know, that's the way that went. PCB had a resolution several years ago that Shirley Brotman brought to us about accessible documents being in Braille, et cetera, from any agency. But, you know, that's not enough, because so much of what governments do now is online. And one of the things that I found that was interesting is every agency, when you opened up their part of the websites, they were all set up differently. And I guess that's not too surprising, but it is weird when you go into one and everything's neatly laid out in tables that you can follow, and you go to another one and everything is just a bunch of links that you go, well, which way do these, you know, which way do these run? So we kind of figured that was a pathway that just wasn't working. And it meant that what we wanted to do, we couldn't do. And we could have been completely discouraged and said, well, let's just cancel this part of the program. And maybe you wish I had, because maybe this is really boring. But what it caused us to do is think about what else can we do? And one of the things that we can do is ask you as our peers for your thoughts on places we ought to go in the next year to try to get better answers, and combine those with the list that I have just mentioned here and see if we can do a better job of getting agencies to recognize the issue. Now, if you don't know, the Department of Justice put out a proposed rulemaking in August that everybody had 60 days to comment on about Title II of the ADA. That proposed rulemaking about Title II, and Title II is state and local government, including educational institutions, made some suggestions or some rule, their proposed rules, and there are proposed exceptions. Interestingly enough, ACB signed on to a fairly strongly worded statement that many other national disability organizations have signed on to as well. And we ended up signing on to something far stronger than anything that I noticed as I was talking to Deb Cook Lewis as the president. What we signed on to was far stronger than what she thought was a reasonable thing to ask for. Now, I think that the people who wrote this, and it was a combined thing with many groups contributing to it, but the people who wrote it said most all of these exceptions make no sense. It's not fair. How do you, and the exceptions were things like, if something isn't used very often, it doesn't have to be accessible. Okay. if it's old and archived, it doesn't have to be accessible. Then it was, if somebody asks for it to be made accessible, you can make it accessible for them, but then it doesn't have to stay accessible on the website. Does that make sense? Once you've made it accessible, why isn't it accessible? Okay. Educational institutions don't have to make certain things accessible. Well, I can see where you don't have to make all the papers that kids turn in accessible, but why would you let an educational institution put stuff up on the web that they've designed that isn't accessible? Don't ask me. Anyway, that proposed rulemaking got all the objections to it, and the comments on it were due by October 2nd. I have no idea how soon that is going to finally then morph into whatever the actual rulemaking becomes. But interestingly enough, there is legislation out there now in the House and in the Senate. That's the Web Accessibility Act. And I don't know how that act is going to affect the Department of Justice's attitude on its bill, on its rulemaking. That bill at the House and Senate, wait a minute, let me get that because I put it in the wrong place. Okay, the Senate bill is S-2984 and the House bill is 5813, I think. I don't know how that bill is going to affect anything. So I noticed that as I looked at how do we solve these problems of accessibility now? Okay, you go to 211 and ask somebody to help you look something up. You go to the library and ask somebody to help you find it. I mean, you can go through the websites, but sometimes it's just so many layers of stuff, or it's set up so oddly that you can't get there. In the legislature, the House and Senate, well, the parties actually run the websites for the legislators, kind of. So it's not like it's a Senate-wide or a House-wide website. They're sort of like party-driven. So I think it's just a hard nut to solve. Like, how do you get all of these agencies to be more accessible? And we just learned that it's not anywhere near as easy as we thought it would be. So what do you think your top 10 items are to ask us to work on next year for accessibility issues in state government? And I'd be glad to take everybody's or anybody's recommendations and put them on my list.
I personally, would like to see fully accessible online voting as some sort of priority. If other states can do this, then Pennsylvania certainly should be able to.
I certainly would like that as well, and so would Democracy Live. I wonder.
Certainly on board with that as well, and certainly as part of the team. I'm very much on board with that because I think, you know, we should be able to vote independently and without having to print something out and hope that some, you know, because then you still require somebody to help you fold it and do all this and that, put everything on an envelope, and they can still see what you're voting and criticize you if they don't agree with you.
Now, I do want to tell you that I will create, I have a list of phone numbers in each of the agencies that I mentioned so that people, you know, like the consumer liaison for this agency and the whatever they call each of those kind of phone numbers that I will make those available in the next week. I just think it sometimes makes most sense to just go to your local legislator and say, I want help with this. There goes Sandy. Let Sandy talk.
I think we need to start in our own backyard. Perfect example is, as you know, assistive technology trainer, and my clients are expected to sign a form to the point that they're blind. I walk in blind. Where's the dotted line? Now, yeah, we can make provisions where we can we can fold it and get it signed and things like that. But I don't feel we should have to do that. My boss took the time out to create an Adobe form that I'm currently doing electronically so that it shows a timestamp that I was there at their place. And it just doesn't meet everybody's needs. Whether I'd be blind or sighted, the client is still blind. So I sometimes think we need to start with our closest agency at Blindness and Visual Services, no VR.
Amen. That's why I put labor and industry at the top of my list.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And we have Carla.
Okay. On two things. First of all, I like what, you know, what Doug and company are doing with that certain grocery store website, because, and that leads to one of my concerns. I would like to see some way that, you know, we all, those of us that are totally blind and we don't have a spouse and or somebody, we live alone and have to do shopping online. Some of these shopping websites that we have to use are so bad. They're just so inaccessible. I wish there was some way that we could just handle these under one umbrella and, you know, get some accessibility going there, get them to do the right thing and make it accessible and reinstate the, some of the stores have gotten rid of the option of calling in orders, and there are still people that don't have web access. So I'm really concerned about that. And my other big issue that I'm concerned about is in the shared ride program. There are so many problems with getting transportation, you know, and here in Pennsylvania, where we have, with our agency, they don't get enough drivers, and you have to call in by noon of the previous day. And sometimes things change quicker than that. There needs to be some improvement and in the shared ride programs and in transportation access. And so I would say that those two issues are very important, because we have to do things independently, and it's just getting worse and worse ever since the end of the pandemic. I think that we were all better off during the pandemic. There were a lot more services. It was just a lot easier to get things done. And now nobody wants to go to work. I guess that's what the issue is. And so they have all these check-ins at the doctor's offices and all these self-checkouts at stores. And even though they speak, they're not completely accessible, and they're putting people out of work, and the people don't want to work. So we've got our work cut out for us. So those are the issues I'd like to bring up.
You're so right, Carla, because like I was thinking of Merv and I going this week to take Lyft to go get his lab work done. And he said, Nikki, we really can't, because last time I went there, the one time I went by myself, they wouldn't come out of their little cubbyhole to come help me sign in. And finally, another patient helped me get signed in. So we have to have my mom take us, because we need her to sign us in. Totally inaccessible.
Well, do you use Quest?
No, it's not Quest. I don't think it's our LVHN, Lehigh High Valley Network, that the doctor's office we go to has a lab.
Okay, so. but in reality, that's one of those. I mean, that's one of those things where they absolutely are required under the ADA. You know, that's why. That's why ACB took Quest to court, because and the weird thing is the Quest decision came out just this past week, but they didn't say what the remedy was. They said Quest was wrong, but they didn't say whether, at least I didn't see the part that said.
I noticed that. They didn't say what the remedy was on that. No. What they were going to do. I mean, they said they were wrong. That was the end, you know. Mm-hmm.
And because what
they had to make it accessible, but that was it.
Right. And the interesting thing about it was Quest decided that what they had done made it accessible. And what they did was, when they told people that they could just touch the equipment, right? The the iPad or whatever kind of tablet they used, it would check them in as a walk-in. Now, they didn't get any of the privileges that they had when they got the appointment. They turned into a walk-in. So when they turned into a walk-in, like when you have an appointment and you check in, you can walk back out the door and they'll let you, you know, they'll text you back saying, come in, it's your turn now, right? Yeah. So that was one of the issues. However, let's see, we got some more people with.
Yeah, we do. So right. Sherry.
Okay, getting back to labor and industries not being fully accessible. Being a member of the CAC committee, is this something we could bring up at the next meeting? I mean, I know it's probably been discussed before.
Not really, because that's a statewide issue and not a local issue.
Okay.
Because, you know, your local issues within the office, when you find out what the office is doing, that's one thing. But you can't, we can't change policy. And that's where it really has to start, getting policy to change.
Okay.
But we can work on it. Yeah. Okay. No problem.
Jonna.
So,
Jonna, you're always talking.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think this might be the most I've participated in a PC convention in years. No, I'm just kidding. So going back to what you were talking about earlier with Quest, I actually had an incident where I had to have my neighbor take me because, again, I couldn't sign in. So I had to have somebody do it for me. And I didn't realize that the decision that they had admitted they were wrong. I must have missed that somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, what happened was the decision, the court case was last November. The judge's decision just came out this week.
Okay.
You didn't miss much.
And then the other thing I wanted to share real quick is doctor's offices. So back in January, I had to find a new doctor for some issues I was having. And I was referred to this doctor's office by my PCP. And I called them to make an appointment, and they told me that I could not make an appointment until I filled out the paperwork that they sent me in the mail. So I explained to them, you know, that I was blind. I wasn't able to fill the paperwork out. You know, could they have someone help me do it in office, which is what I've done before, had a nurse, you know, or a receptionist work with me to fill out new paperwork. And she said, no, she said, you can't even make an appointment to come in and be seen without filling this paperwork out and sending it back to us. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? What type of accommodation do you offer for someone who's visually impaired? And I kid you not, she said, well, you're just going to have to find somebody sighted to do it for you. That's not our responsibility. So I reported them, but it was just a very disconcerting.
That's humiliating.
Yes.
That's a disgrace.
Well, yes. You know, the sad thing about that is, and here's, you know, I'm not defending the person who said that, obviously. Okay. And I don't know what grade level that person had. If that person was just some poor dumped on clerical who says, I don't know, man, I can't do that. Because you sit there going like, come on, email me a PDF of it. You guys don't have these 14,000 of these printed up. You print them up as you need them. You've got a copy in your office. Email it to me. And you know, how the office manager, if it got as far as the office manager, how the office manager wouldn't make that decision is beyond, you don't know, like who the person was, what that person's job title was, you know. You never, what's that statement that people make? Never take no from someone who can't say yes.
Yeah. So I did end up taking it to the office manager. And the office manager was about as rude as the receptionist.
Oh,
and when I asked for an accessible document that I could fill in electronically, she said, we don't do that.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
So yeah. is that doctor part of one of the biggies so that you can report them, like report their office to?
It was a private practice. I don't know. At this time, I don't recall.
So did you finally find a doctor that you could go to? Okay.
I did. I did. Yeah. It took me 2 months, but I did. But yeah, I was so humiliated. And I just, you know, when we talk about things like this, you know, things have come so far. Technology has advanced so much, but there are still some things that I feel are back in the Stone Ages. I really do.
Yes.
We will put doctor's offices on our list. And one of the things I know that ACB has a, like a patient's rights form that you can slam down on people and say, read this. Huh. You know, there's like a patient's rights letter. I know I've seen it, but I have to figure out where it is. Anybody remember seeing that somewhere? It was floating around on some email list at ACB.
Chris, if you're interested, I can actually look up this place and send you information on it. And maybe you may know of other people who have had the same issue. But yeah, it was completely humiliating. I'll see if I can find out. Yeah, this was back in January, and it was a gynecologist's office, basically.
Oh my God, that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay.
And we have Jeanette.
Oh, this just all makes me sick. I would have said that voting was my priority, but I know that I don't use the paratransit, but I know the people who use paratransit. It's just horrendous, the stories we hear. It makes me sad to hear the medical. Their kiosks are just appearing everywhere. You can't even order in some of these fast food places without putting your order in a kiosk. The ADA was passed in 1990. And, you know, for a long time, I thought, okay, we got to learn. We got to teach. We're working our way up. And now I feel like everything's going backwards. We moved from Lehigh County, where I was known. A poll worker had babysat my children when they were young. So she knew me. And when I walked in and was in line, she'd wave and say, "Hi, Jeanette, we're all set up for you." And when it was my turn, I'd walk up to the machine and they'd stick in something like a credit card and hand me the earphones and I could vote. And then I moved to Montgomery County. And we moved in February, and I immediately wrote a letter to the Board of Elections saying that we have just moved in. I'm going to be voting at such and such polling place. Please be sure that someone at the polling place is trained on the ballot marking device. I didn't hear anything back, so I started making phone calls. And no one ever answered the phone. I left message after message. No one ever got back to me. So finally, it was the day to vote. And I showed up at my polling place. And I said, "I want to use the ballot marking device." "Oh, well, we've never had to use that." "Well, were you trained on it?" "Oh, maybe 2 years ago." "Well, I want to use it." It took them 45 minutes both reading the manual and making phone calls to the central office to figure out how to let me vote. And I wouldn't give in. They said, "Well, why don't you just let your husband help you vote?" "No, I have a right to vote privately and secretly." So I figured, okay, they learned their lesson. They're going to know next time. No, it wasn't much different. It took them, I don't know, 30 minutes. We got it down to 15. 9 years I voted in person like that and never got it down to less than 15 minutes for them to set it up for me. So I finally gave in and I do an absentee ballot. It is so upsetting to me. I have told this story so often. I actually contacted the Pennsylvania has a disability rights group of lawyers.
Yeah,
and
DRP.
I actually let them know. I'm sorry?
DRP, Disability Rights of Pennsylvania. The PNA for Pennsylvania, right.
Well, anyway, I let them know. I thought surely that would make a change, but it never did.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if anybody would recognize this. It's a group called Indivisible Hope. Yeah, Indivisible Hope. It's just a group that has gathered, but that does advocacy, and told my story there. And after the meeting was over, a woman came up to me and she said, "I am so sorry to hear about your story." And I said, "Well, I have come to the conclusion that in Montgomery County, they really don't care if people with disabilities can vote or not." And she said, "I agree with you." Now, she didn't tell me her story, whether she had other reasons than hearing my story. But yes, it has been a terribly frustrating and maybe humiliating is the right word, Jana, experience. So that's my story.
I remember when you told that story when they put the new voting machine in, and your husband went in to try. He was going to use the machine. Oh, he said he wanted to use the machine or something at some point because everybody can use it. Yes. And then they still jammed it up.
Yes. Yes. He just wanted to continue advocating for me after I got the absentee ballot. Yes. So he went in to use. But what's even worse is when they came out with the paper ballots, there were people who said, "I can't see to fill out these ovals," or "my hand's too shaky." The poll worker sat down and filled them out.
Oh, and that's just so wrong.
Illegal.
It sure is. And the thing is, those people had every bit the right to use that machine that you use for exactly the same reason that you wanted to use it, so that they could do it themselves because
exactly.
they could then, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, I know this is a real interesting topic, and I didn't know I was going to hit so many nerves when I aggregated all of this information. But it certainly does give us all food for thought, and everybody's welcome to pile on and send me information so that we can keep this thing going. And as Claire and Clark always used to say, and Swatha now says too, remember, everybody, keep on advocating. And I'm not saying you have to join the advocacy team, but everybody who thinks they need something done, let somebody know and that they're doing you wrong, and let us know so that we can help you do you right too. And I'm sorry for you guys who Nathan and Sandy and Sherry, I'm sorry that we ran out of time, but I think we're close to the point where we need to get on to tomorrow's announcements. Is that where we are?
We do have about, well, it says 8:55 for that, and I've got it at 4 minutes. So if you wanted to, you could have another question.
Okay, Mr. Ruggles.
Hello. Thank you for taking a second to take my comment and to take the time for that. Well, first of all, Chris, thank you so much for that wonderful report. That was absolutely fantastic. That update on all the work you've been doing and all the information about what's been going on. It was extremely informative and it was really great. I just had a quick kind of a observation that you had, you know, talked about the online accessibility and we're asking, you know, what things to work on moving forward. And something that did occur to me is that, you know, I heard expressed earlier in the day, as far as, you know, folks interested in having more younger folks participate. And it seems to me the online accessibility issue is one that's going to be certainly of a big concern to younger folks who are online a lot. So to the degree that, that the organization might work on that, that might be something that younger folks might be interested in being involved in. But real briefly too, as far as the advocacy work, it just and all the work that I've done, I just would say that, you know, the types of relationships you're obviously building are wonderful, and building those relationships with our elected officials and folks in government really can do so much to help forward these issues. And at the local level, they do tend to be a lot more responsive too. And, you know, this is a wonderful organization that, you know, there's such power in numbers too, right? So, you know, I hope that, you know, we can see, I'm looking forward to helping out and possibly looking forward to see what might happen in the coming year to kind of forward all these wonderful, efforts that you've been talking about.
Well, we'll get your Mount Oliver expertise. Don't worry. I used to live in Knoxville.
Oh, very good.
But, we'll get your local expertise going and see who we can touch.
All righty. Thank you very much, Chris, for the really good report.